It's a blessing to have Stephen and Cherie. We appreciate it. Not too bad for a big old boy from Louisiana. See, Mater, the Lord can teach even a Louisiana how to speak English. You're still in progress. I appreciate him. All right. If you will, take and open your Bibles up to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. So I know this is Father's Day, so we'll have a message on mothers, right? Title of the message is The Father's Greatest Purpose. When you think about that, we celebrate Mother's Day, yes, for with mothers, they are the bearers of our life. Without mothers, we would not have been born. But it also entwines with the father and the responsibilities of a father. Too much in our society today, and again, I view that, tell you my personal view, I think it is scriptural, but too much of our world today wants to take the manliness out of man. Men are to be a man. Now, being a man doesn't mean that you just father a child. That is only the physical beginning. What is the greatest purpose of dads? Statistics over and over prove that a family with children without dad there, the propensity is over 90% for that child to go to the penitentiary. It is 99% in the penitentiary that those come, that the men there come from a fatherless family. So apparently it's important what we as men do and what our purpose is. So this morning we want to look at that. What is a father's purpose? And we have the greatest example for you and I, as Jesus said, if you know how to be a good father as a human being, how much more our Heavenly Father knows how to be a father. And it is from Him and His Word that we learn. So I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. We will move through several scriptures very quickly this morning, but we will start in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, as this sets the stage for a family. In verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Oh, chapter 5, sorry. Hey, I wanted the musicians to know they weren't the only one to make a boo-boo. Chapter 5, verse 22. See, one number, what makes the difference, right? All right, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Very important passage. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. But as the Lord, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. You may be seated. So I started with this scripture because it sets forth the family of a man and a woman coming together, and it says that the two shall become as one. Now, notice also, and that is oftentimes the scripture here is taken out of context with today's world. Of course, the father of all lies being the devil, he would never do that to God's word to pervert it. But 23 says that the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. A lot of times we hear that, well, that's not right. I'm not subject, the ladies, I'm not subject to any man. You're not asking to be subject to a man, but to a God-fearing man who will treat his wife, women, just as Christ treats each one of us within the church. So it begins there, and it follows into the Old Testament, that the two shall become as one. And that is God's purpose, just as we. It's why it's emblematical of the church, that we as a people with our Lord become as one. We take on His attributes, His love, His respect, His caring. Well, and as He tells us in the Old Testament with Adam and Eve, He came and He told them to fulfill with children, to fill the world, to procreate. We also know that David writes in the book of Psalms that children are a blessing. Now, I know there's times in our lives that we scratch our heads and we go, are you really sure, Lord? About the time they turn teenage years, that's where it happens. When they're that small, they're a blessing. They run everywhere, but they're a blessing all the time. So what is it? It says that the husband is to be the head of the wife. Now, that is not meant as an authoritative head in the aspect that we would think in our world to boss her around. As most of you men know, that ain't going to cut it, right? We understand that if mama ain't happy, y'all know the rest of it, ain't nobody happy, okay? But it does. Ask Preston. He tells everybody it was a propeller, but he pointed at her one too many times. It is a spiritual head. It is that we as men are to be the spiritual leaders of our family. That transcends not only of our family, but in our community. Leadership. We are anointed to be the leaders. But guys, with that comes an awesome responsibility. I firmly believe by God's word, we will be held accountable for our leadership. Each and every man. Ladies, you are held accountable for your portion. But men, we are held accountable for our spiritual proportion of how we led our families spiritually in leadership. And from there, it goes to deacons or elders, to pastors, on up the line. God will hold us accountable because He gave us that appointment to be the leaders and the heads of our household, even as Christ is to the church. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I have that one correct. Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 4. Now, this notion that the Old Testament does not apply, I'm always amazed at that, in that we also quote the scripture that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So if we believe that portion of scripture, how could we not believe in the Old Testament where God spoke and gave His commandments through men to write for all of generations to come? Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And these words which I command to you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on the hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Men, not only as part of leadership that we are to spiritually guide, but in that spiritual guidance and leadership is to teach our children. There is nothing that is more impact on a family than for the children and the wife to be able to see the leadership of a godly man, to hear him pray, to hear him read his Bible, to take that Bible and scriptures and share with a family. There's an old song, I know y'all know it, about the family Bible. And when you really listen to those words, it is of a time, unfortunately, that seems to have been of old and gone by. It says we would sit around the table and Dad would read. It's not just a song, it is what Scripture just said there. We are to follow the statutes ourselves. As men, be the example, even as Christ was the example to you and I. Everything that Jesus did, if you go through the New Testament as He speaks, He says, I do not speak of myself, but of my Father. I tell you what I have heard my Father say. I do what I have seen my Father do. My Father and I are one. If you believe in me, you believe also in the Father. If you believe in the Father, you also should believe in me, for my Father has sent me. It is always related back to the Father. Scripture tells us that we have but one Father, that being God Himself, and we know that the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are all one. Here, what it says is that we should know His statutes. We'll go back to the beginning. Why is the percentage of men in prison from fatherless families? Who taught them? Who teaches our children today? And even if it's a family that the father is not present, men, there is some of us who should be the one, whether it's a coach, a teacher, or a next-door neighbor, or whoever that might be, that fills that father's role. You see, it's not just in our own families, but it should spread outside of that, where we touch the lives of those we work with, we go to school with, whatever it may be that you do in your daily lives. They should see that example of leadership, of spiritual leadership, not just being the boss. All of you have experienced that. There are true bosses who are leaders, and there are bosses who are just a boss. We're looking for the leadership of godly men. That is what should be our esteem and our goal that we become. Now, we cannot do that on our own because we're flawed. So it has to come from the Holy Spirit of His guidance and direction. Scripture tells us also that our Heavenly Father is the Father to all, especially to those who are fatherless. You recall in Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29, preached on this a few Sundays ago, but a man comes because he is concerned for the health of his son, of his child. And he comes to Jesus, and Jesus says to him, he says, all things are possible if you believe. And the man replies and says, I believe, Lord, but help me with my unbelief. There is no way you and I can be the Father that we need to be without our belief in Jesus Christ and our reliance upon Him to guide us and direct us, even with our own unbelief. The last song that Stephen and Cherie sang said, "It is well with my soul." They introed it by, no matter what we go through, no matter what trial or trouble, we have to understand God has told us, He said, "My grace is sufficient." That in those aspects, when we were at our weakest, when we really don't know what to do, and we kind of look at it, you know, I find myself there, how do I direct my family when I don't even know what the answer is? That's those unbelief moments. The answer is always found by going to the Father who knows it all. On a humble, bended knee and asking for that guidance. Second Chronicles, a verse that we quote, talks about a nation. It says, when my people humble themselves before me and confess, I will hear and I will heal their lands. You want to heal your family? It starts with you, gentlemen. It starts with you humbling yourself before the Father. Then you're able to teach those statutes. Statutes you must first learn. You and I must first exemplify. You and I must first keep our eyes fixed on Him to guide and direct us, to give us the wisdom, to be able to share it with others. King Solomon, when he was made a king, God anointed him even at a very young age. And he asked, he said, Solomon, I'll give you anything that you want. You ever thought about why how he come to the conclusion that he wanted to have wisdom? I mean, you're talking about a very young age child. He wasn't a man, he was a child. But yet he asked for wisdom. His father was King David. David made a whole lot of boo-boos, a whole lot of mistakes. But even in those mistakes, that young man, that young child, saw where the heart of his daddy was. What we just read in Deuteronomy, those statutes. And all that David did, God still saw him because of his heart as a man after His own heart. And from that, Solomon picked up on it. You know, them children, even as young as that little young man over there, the children or grandchildren that you have had, I have had, even at that young age, they pick up. They pick up real quick. Even when we don't think they picked up. And Solomon picked it up. And his answer to God was, give me wisdom. Men, I think that is the thing that you and I should pray for every single day. Not our wisdom, His wisdom. Several years ago, I understood the scripture and began to make that prayer an everyday prayer of give me wisdom for the day. Not looking for wisdom through the years. It's a day-by-day process. Sometimes it's a moment-by-moment process. If you want to love your wife, you got to be right with your Creator. If you want to love your children and rear them the way that they should be, or your grandchildren, or whatever, you know, maybe you're a coach of something, or a teacher, or whatever it is, maybe just the neighbor, you first have to be submissive in gaining that wisdom and direction from the Father. It also relates into you and I reading the Word. As I said, the song said, around the table we would sit and listen to Dad read. How can you and I teach others if we've never read it ourselves? When we look at the world today, our younger generation are searching because they have no solid foundation. Why? Because the older generation's got away from teaching the foundation, the Judeo-Christian values. I see that in our nation today, that we want to take God out of everything. Imagine a world without God in it. Doesn't take a lot. Flip over to Revelation, find out all of the horrors. As Scripture says, the heart of man is wicked. We see that oftentimes, even in our world today, and have seen it. The things that man will devise to do, the worst is the things that we do to our children. Now we come up with a thought real quick of psychological abuse, sexual abuse, all of these things. My personal opinion, the greatest damage we can do to our children is not teach them about Jesus Christ. That is the greatest. Why? Because without a knowledge of Him, should they pass away at a young age, an old age, it doesn't matter. But it does matter where they spend eternity. And if they've never heard about Jesus Christ, how will they know that God made a way for each one of us as well as them to know Him personally? You see, in the garden we were flawed. No matter what we do, we can never be good enough for God's kingdom. It is only through the blood of Christ that we are redeemed. It is only through His blood we can epitomize that song, no matter what it is well with my soul, because I have a trust and a faith stronger than anything on this earth. The only way I can teach my children, my son or grandchildren, will be out of the fact of knowing God's statutes and letting Him work through me. The only way I can influence people I work with, or you as a congregation, not of me, but asking for His wisdom and how to handle all situations that affects so many of us. Just as the man asked Jesus on the healing, he said, Lord, help me with my unbelief. In Psalms, verse 68 and 5, it tells us that He is a father of the fatherless and a defender of the widows. Is God in the holy habitation, and He sets the solidarity in families. He brings out those who are bound unto prosperity, but the rebellious dry in a foreign land. Scripture says that over and over again. We see it not only with individuals, but with nations. A godless nation always is in desperation. They're in famines. They're destitute. Nothing goes well. Have you ever noticed, just even in out of my past history, I'm a watcher of people, right? Just part of my nature. But do you ever notice those who by their actions do not display anything about God in their actions? And yet you notice those who know the Lord, just physical appearance. Those that don't know Him have their mouth turned down, they're not unhappy, and because they're miserable, they want you to be miserable along with them. When you have that worker that always the glass is half empty, come in and give them praises. Watch their demeanor change, that or they'll go away from you. I have found that is the easiest way to make them go away. If you can't change them, leave. And you start saying, really? Man, I had a great weekend. Got to go to church, blah, blah, blah. I got to go find some work to do. And off they go. Good, now I can go on about my happy day. Okay? It's the same thing Jesus said, the light dispels the darkness. His glory, His joy in you and I dispels the negativity. I'll even take it a step further that Scripture tells us when Satan comes and attacks, you and I, in the name of Jesus Christ, have the authority to tell him to flee. And in His name, guess what? He has to flee. Why do you think so many people, if they ask you to pray at something because they know you go to church, but they'll say, you can say anything you want in the prayer, just don't mention Jesus' name. Well, then we ain't going to have prayer. We're going to have a speech, but we ain't going to have prayer. Because prayer is automatic. He is the reason I can go to the Father. He is the one who gives me His Spirit, the Comforter, to guide and direct. And yes, I have been in that situation. If that's what you want, then you need to go find somebody else. Otherwise, be prepared. It's going to end in Jesus' name. Scripture also tells us in Isaiah 9:6, it tells us, he says, when he's talking about the Son coming, Jesus Christ, says, for unto us a Christ is born, unto us a Son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. We're familiar with hearing those around Christmas, right? Finish the rest of the verse. Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. From those, we can see that even Jesus Christ, as we said, is the example for you and I of what a marriage should be between Christ and the church. So should ours. My wife and I may have different opinions of different things, but yet when it comes down to the very end of it, we pray about it, we're in harmony. And that was utmost to us in raising young Jacob. Malachi 1:6 speaks also. It says in 1:6, it says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am the master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you the priest who despise my name, yet you say, In what way have we despised your name? And you say, well, that's just talking to you preachers. Wrong answer. New Testament says that we are all of the priesthood. If we know Christ, we are the priest. You see, oftentimes we look and we think, well, in what way, Lord, am I not honoring you? If we're not teaching His Word, His statutes, if we're not honoring our wives, if we're not honoring our children, then we have failed at honoring Him. Everything that the Father does has been done for me and you. The most familiar scripture to anyone is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that what? He gave His only begotten Son. God gave up everything for what was already His. When you think about that, He created. Look in Genesis, it says, He took the soil and He made man. He created us. At His discretion, very easily, He could say, no problem, wipe this version out and we'll go to 2.0. 2.0 came in Jesus Christ. Greater than any 2.0. That you and I, by the freedom of choice, could choose Him to be our Lord and Savior, that we might also have the same Father that He does. As Scripture says, Jesus' own word, I treat you not as servants, but as brothers and sisters. Finally, look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15:4. Oftentimes we fail to understand the significance. Over and over again, it is spoken about the marriage, about the children, about fathers, mothers, husbands, and wives. Listen to Matthew 4 as the word of our Lord Himself speaks. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. We live in a world that says, oh, we're too harsh with the punishment. That's God's statutes. Regardless of who the Lord allowed your father or mother to be, I believe in all of His divineness, He knows the right things. Just like I don't believe it was by circumstance or chance that any of you showed up here today. He anoints it. The music, the Scriptures that are read, the prayers, if we're within His will, He anoints it. This message is not of me, but of Him. The greatest Father that we honor is Him. So dads, on this day, be very thankful for the fathers that you have had, especially those of you who had godly fathers that taught you the way. I didn't say you had perfect dads. I said you had godly fathers. I wasn't a perfect dad, but my desire was to teach my son that he might be better than me. I would hope that is each one of our desires. But yet there are a lot of fatherless young men out there that we can impact. And ladies, there's a lot of fatherless girls that we, through Scripture, are commanded to teach them how to be men, how to be ladies, that they might mature and teach others alongside of us. Dad's greatest purpose is to teach about our greatest Heavenly Father. Plain and simple as that. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ, we want to give you that opportunity. No greater decision will you make, whether you're married, single, doesn't matter. You have a Heavenly Father who loves you and gives everything for you. As we've often talked about, if you're interested in it, God is interested in it. There's not anything you cannot talk to Him in prayer about. But Jesus' words were that no man can come to the Father but by Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way that you and I might obtain the truth to have a solid foundation that's missing in so many people's lives today, especially young folks. That we might have everlasting life. As we go to the Father here in prayer, if you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ, it is our earnest prayer, our earnest desire that you would know Him today. No greater decision will you make We're going to say a very simple prayer.